You mentioned that Madison had, there was a sense that Madison, being a progressive research institution, and had all these firsts in the area of LGB issues, and yet there was no academic department, no certificate, no major, and I wondered if you could speculate perhaps on why that was the case.
LGBT studies programs were definitely new around the country. It wasn't that this was something easy. Mm-hmm. And I believe almost all of them were at private colleges and universities.
Oh, really?
However, there was a sense that we should be a lot closer than we were. And as you mentioned, Milwaukee did have a certificate program. It had just been started. And it was actually able to start. There were some, it had a difficult birth, and it was able to be birthed because the process was campus based. Mm-hmm. There was some question initially whether it could be started without the involvement of the Board of Regents, and it appeared that if the Board of Regents would need to be involved, it wouldn't have passed.
Right.
But in reviewing the process, there was no need for the Board of Regents to review it, and therefore the campus could begin the certificate program. So when the Faculty Senate Committee began, I think that on the table right away was this question of, Milwaukee has a certificate program. Mm-hmm. At minimum, we should have a certificate program.
Right.
And that let's look into it and decide whether we want a certificate program, and maybe that's all we want, or do we want a real department.
Mm-hmm. And this had been one of the original recommendations in the Glick report too, that the Chancellor's office, I don't know whether it stated specifically a department or a certificate,
yes.
But I know it said to encourage area studies, so
yes.
to speak, and that obviously there was some feeling that this much headway hadn't been gained.
That's
in that
right.
area.
That's right. And you know, this was something that the Asian American Studies program had begun only about 3 or 4 years before this. The Chicano Studies was old. The Native American Studies was much older than that. But there were new studies programs being proposed.
Mm-hmm.
The Puerto Rican Studies program, which is still not in place but has been being discussed for many years, was being discussed at that point as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a sense that let's start something and look at it. By this point, the Women's Studies program had become a department rather than just a certificate in a studies program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I can give a why as to it hadn't happened, but the sense was, but there was a strong sense that it hadn't happened, and we really needed to be moving on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that the first task of the Faculty Senate Committee was to begin to do some research, some comparative research, to see what was happening around the country, where were the programs, how had they started, and to begin talking to people on this campus to see how far were we from being able to put one in place.
Mm-hmm.
What was being done? So one of the first year, one of the major projects was to work with the Secretary of the Faculty's office to do a survey through them of all instructional faculty and staff to ask them what was being taught on these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. We heard back from 100 faculty that they had that they had some portion of their course, of a course they taught, devoted to LGBT issues. And that was very encouraging to us. It said that we did have enough of a base to go forward, that probably all that was needed was a structure, some sort of introductory level course. There didn't seem to be any kind of general overall introductory course, which would make sense if there's no
mm-hmm.
certificate, that we needed to get approval to get a course like that in place, and then put together these other disparate courses around the campus to make a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened over the last, I guess, 4 or 5 years now. So that last year in the 1999-2000 season, actually it was in spring, of 2000, we for the first time began the certificate, LGBT certificate program, with an introductory LGBT Studies 101
mm-hmm.
course.
Oh, so there is a certificate program now in place?
There are a lot of different steps, and I haven't been intimately involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely the 101 course in place, and I think it is all but the final steps to get this actual certificate program in place. So yes, I believe so. There may be one or two final things to cross or dot.
Okay.
But I think there's no question that it will be in place.
And then the other impetus perhaps for the faculty committee was, in addition to the curriculum, was you said faculty and staff.
Right, and that relates to the domestic partnership issue we've already talked about, is how do we get the campus to move on domestic partnership? Our campus, the problem is not a campus-based problem, it's a state problem.
Right.
Because our statutes define who gets health benefits, and the statutes define who gets health benefits as spouse and dependents. And at this point, domestic partners are not spouses or dependents. So this is a larger issue, but there was a strong sense that the campus needed a body to be connected to the work that was going on around the state on that issue.
You had mentioned earlier about graduate students and studies coming here to study and support and all that, and I wondered where do the graduate students fit into this, in the sense that the dean of students handles by and large undergraduate concerns, I think, although in some sense the graduate concerns are more closely related to faculty concerns, and that I think issues of curriculum and then domestic partner benefits would tend to be more of interest to graduate students, perhaps. So I wondered maybe if you could just
discuss
that.
Well, one of the other things as liaison that I did from the very beginning is I worked with the, at that point it was called the Affirmative Action Office, now called the Equity and Diversity Resource Center. They provide, at the request of the Teaching Assistants Association, I probably started in 89 or 90, they offer to all teaching assistants and research assistants an opportunity to get training on diversity issues. And at the request of the Teaching Assistants Association, this training, a teaching assistant who went through the training would get an increase in their pay. So the training is provided at the beginning of each semester to teaching assistants and research assistants. At that point, it used to be, I believe, a six-hour training. I think maybe it used to be an eight-hour training, and now it's a six-hour training. It was two sessions, 4 hours each. And part of my role as liaison was that I worked with that office to incorporate sexual orientation diversity training. And that was one of the, I think they were very pleased to expand the program in that way. I think it was well received and an important part of the training. So I'd say that's one of the ways that we work with graduate students, both as students who are teaching and also, so both as staff who are providing information to our students and how should they be relating to and what kinds of information needs to be being provided, and also as students who are in a supervisory role with their own advisors and may have some questions about discriminatory issues. So that was, I'd say, through the Equity and Diversity Resource Center and this training program, I'd say was that one of the major ways we worked with grad students on LGBT issues.
Okay, well, the faculty committee is in place, and then in 1995, I guess, there was some budgetary cuts.
Yeah.
And then your position was eliminated, correct?
Right. What happened in 1995, there was a major budget cut to the whole university. And the Dean of Students' Office received a very severe cut. The Dean of Students' Office is a division. And there are a number of other units in addition to the main Dean of Students' Office where I worked. The dean felt strongly that she did not want to, any more than she had to, pass along those cuts to the other units she supervised. She made S&E, serious S&E budgetary cuts for all of the units in the division. But
S&E's.
Supplies and expense.
Okay.
But she still needed to do some actual personnel cutting. That there just wasn't enough, and the only way that they could see to make a big enough cut in the budget was by removing a salary. In other words, a personnel cut. And she decided that she needed to take that personnel cut in her own office area. I was, my title was assistant to the Dean of Students. And although I had been there for 7 years, I was also the most junior member of the staff.
Wow.
This is a very long, long-sustaining staff.
Mm-hmm.
The next junior person probably had 10 years, and the next junior person had 15, or people after that were all in their 20 years on camp in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was it wasn't me, it was the position that I held was the position that had to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's important, though, is that the dean recognized how important the liaison role was, and it wasn't that the duties I had got cut. What happened is there was a meeting amongst the staff, and we tried to reallocate the duties I had been fulfilling
mm-hmm.
to other members of the staff, so that one of the other assistant deans in the office took on as much as possible of the liaison role.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we changed, the title had been Gay and Lesbian LGBT Liaison. We changed the title to be LGBT Contact Person. And we did that intentionally because I had been doing a lot of programming. As we were talking, I realized I didn't mention a couple of the other things. So in addition to the newsletter and the orientation reception and the graduation reception, I had also been doing a speaker series where we had probably 5 lunchtime brown bag sessions during the year, where either graduate students, another way we reached graduate students, or faculty on the campus who were doing LGBT research or had expertise in LGBT issues would give a brown bag mm-hmm. on those issues. That's all programming a lot of time and effort. And so when we transferred the duties of the liaison to the other staff members, we decided there just was no way that people who were already adding to the work that they had could take on a lot of programming.
Mm-hmm.
We decided the most important role of the liaison was to be a visible presence on the campus, to be a name that could be given out to new students or continuing students or students who were coming out or faculty members dealing with students who were coming out,
mm-hmm.
to be not just say, go to that office, but go to person, so that there was a personal connection. We decided that was really the most important role,
mm-hmm.
the role that we couldn't give up, that we couldn't just cut because of budget cuts. So that Peggy Lewis, the assistant dean in the office, could become the new contact person, but that it would probably be impossible for her to keep up all of the programming.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that they would drop the newsletter, drop the speaker series, and continue the orientation reception in coordination with the campus center. We now had the campus center, so in the two offices could work together to put on the orientation program,
mm-hmm.
the campus center and the Dean of Students office. And for the graduation program, the Dean of Students office and the Alumni Council could work together, and that we would give more of the organizational programming responsibilities to the Alumni for the graduation reception to the Alumni Council, for the orientation reception to the campus center.
Mm-hmm.
And that by cutting back in that way, the contact person could continue and we could make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened, is that in 95, Peggy Lewis became the LGBT contact person. She then became the person to serve on the Faculty Senate Committee, because the Dean of Students Office should be represented on that committee.
Right.
And that was the change that happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, in talking with people, they had mentioned that this did not go over very well necessarily with the community on campus, and maybe particularly the students who felt as though, you know, this was being sort of phased out, just as you mentioned. And I wondered if you had any comment about the reaction to this. And that, you know, were people very angry or disappointed, or did they feel sort of that here was all this progress had been made and all these things were happening, and then suddenly it sort of cut, especially a vital link. It sounds as though that you in that position were a kind of liaison, I guess, and between all these different things were going on, and it sounds as though, you know, you had personally had put a lot of energy and effort into it, maybe more than the quarter time that you were allotted, it sounds like. And so without your presence in that position, there would be a kind of drop-off, I guess. And I wondered if you had any...
Well, we really tried to not have that mm-hmm. be the sense. I guess I never heard that, mm-hmm. and maybe people weren't telling me. We tried to communicate as clearly as we could that this was not a cutback in our commitment in any way, mm-hmm. that the cuts had not come. I mean, these were huge, major proportion of the entire Dean of Students budget cut, and it had to come from somewhere.
Right.
And that we did everything we possibly could to maintain the duties. Yes, the person was gone, but the duties we tried to maintain as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I don't think in any sense it was a change in commitment or a change in focus. It was a change in budget. And trying to allocate the budget we had and keep the focus. Mm-hmm.
We
tried to communicate that. We did as best we could in the last newsletter. We tried to explain. And I think we also felt that it wasn't a completely inappropriate change, because since 92 a lot of things had been established. The center was there, mm-hmm. the student center, the alumni council was in place. That there were the kind of organizations that the Dean of Students Office had been trying to carry the weight for inappropriately. I mean, the Dean of Students is not supposed to be serving alumni. A student center makes sense for students to be serving. Mm-hmm. The Faculty Senate Committee to be serving faculty and staff is more appropriate than the Dean of Students Office trying to serve faculty and staff.
Right.
So that in some ways these things were now in place, it made sense to be spreading those duties among the there were real structures in place that could take on those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the Faculty Committee was organized in 94 and then produced this report, which came out about 3 years later. Did you have any specific input?
I think the report was wonderful. It was beautifully, it was received just so positively across the campus. The Faculty Senate passed it without a question. The Academic Staff Assembly passed it. The student government passed it. The chancellor accepted it. It was received unanimously, mm-hmm. with support, and that the recommendations have been instituted almost across the board. Mm-hmm. I think that the one of the big recommendations was the certificate program, which is now in place. Mm-hmm. I think the other very major recommendation, especially from the viewpoint of students, was a full-time liaison. And through the work of the Faculty Senate Committee and through the work of students across the campus and this office and the chancellor's office and everybody talking and working and talking and not always being together initially, but continuing to talk and continuing to think, in the 1998-99 academic year, it all came together, and the chancellor's office and this office agreed to approve budget for a full-time liaison. Mm-hmm. So that in the September of 99, during the summer of 99, we did the search and screen process, and in September of 99, we hired for the first time a full-time LGBT student liaison. Mm-hmm. Her name is Sarah Hinkle. She is housed in this office. I supervise her, and she has done a wonderful job in the first year, and I really do think that all of the work that we've been talking about in the last 2.5 or however many hours, mm-hmm. really culminates in the appointment of Sarah Hinkle as someone to be on the campus and to be devoting her entire workday to thinking about issues of LGBT mm-hmm. students and sexual orientation, and how do we continue to address this as an important mm-hmm. member part of our campus.
And her role is similar, maybe expanded from the same sorts of things that you did.
Exactly. I mean,
are things like the speakers series and the brown bag,
exactly.
Those have all been reinitiated or you know, similar sorts of programs are in place now?
Yes, what Sarah's been able to do is to really give support to the student center, which is a student-run, student-funded center. Its strength is students and student energy. Its weakness is lack of continuity. Mm-hmm. And so by having a staff person, full-time staff person, able to be there for Sarah, before this we've had to have volunteers advising those students. And it just doesn't work. They're basically running a student service on their own. They have all the kinds of budgetary and personnel issues that any university office has, and they're students. They're trying to be students. They don't have the experience. They don't have the knowledge. It's complicated. Right. By having Sarah there to give them support, it's just a huge advantage to everybody, and the students adore it. Sarah's also been able to begin other sorts of programming, like you mentioned. She had this year a 4-session career session, career issues mm-hmm. for LGBT students that was in collaboration again with the campus center, with our career advising centers, with the student organization office. So again, a collaborative effort of many student organizations. She began this year and will be continuing a leadership training series, again in collaboration with the Multicultural Center, with the Student Organization Office, with the Health Services Division, with University Health Services. So she's been able to exactly expand what the liaison could do before on a part-time basis. Mm-hmm. She's there full-time. She spends hours each week at the campus center. The campus center board has asked her to be an advisory member of the board. The staff has asked her to be an advisory consultant to the staff. She's been able to do everything we hope that position mm-hmm. could do. Just as an example, I think, of one of the things that a full-time person can do that was impossible before, is that Sarah, the athletic department sent around a proposal for a ticket policy. Sarah was able to review that ticket policy, immediately recognize this had to do with changes in ticket policies because of the new call center, immediately recognized that there was a place in the ticket policy where easily partner could be added to spouse. Mm-hmm. Got in touch with the athletic department and the athletic board. She gave them proposed language to make the easy change. It was approved. And now this ticket policy has what should have been there, but just someone else, other straight people, didn't necessarily see how to incorporate it or think of it.
Right.
It was not a huge change, but it was a very important change, much easier to make at the front end than to have to go back and and retool. And I think that's what someone like Sarah can do, that having someone be there and present, thinking about these issues all the time, smooths everything out.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps as a final question, I wondered if you would sort of speculate or talk a little bit about maybe what you see as the future of LGBT issues or presence on campus. I mean, what sorts of things do you think will be done or should be done, or maybe, I mean, I'm not asking you to predict the future, but where do you see things being in, say, 10 years or 20 years or even farther along?
Well, I think there are two big issues that remain. As I mentioned, students do now have, through our University Health Service, students have domestic partner coverage for their health benefits. Mm-hmm. If they choose to get university health insurance, they can get domestic partner coverage. That was a huge success. Mm-hmm. And that's been in place probably almost 3 years now. I think the two areas that remain, from my perspective, are domestic partner coverage for faculty and staff, and certainly something that lots of people are working on. And I think the other area is transgender issues. Our state does not protect transgender students from harassment or discrimination. As a campus, we need to be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Transgender people often, they have a difficult time. People don't understand the issues. The issues are still relatively hidden. I think as a campus trying to serve all students and staff, faculty and staff, we have to start thinking about it. We will, in fact, we have had already a faculty member in the process of a transsexual operation.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a transsexual and will be having an operation soon. We need to be making sure that there are processes and policies in place to address the kinds of issues that people face when they are undergoing a gender change.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. End of interview.